Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Leap year? Use that extra day wisely. Talk to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
Drive Time with Mary Wilson on RTE Radio 1.
Now, Ms. Aileen Rogers is a senior surgical registrar at St. James's Hospital and a fellow of the Royal College of Surgeons in Ireland. And she's today been announced as the recipient of Ireland's first Progress Women in Surgery Fellowship. It's a new RCSI bursary and it's going to support women in surgical training in Ireland in acquiring further skills and further knowledge. Women make up half of all medical graduates in this country, and yet only a very small proportion, round about 10%, move into surgical consultancies. Ms. Rogers works to promote gender equality in surgery. She's done extensive research in the area. She's here in studio with me. You're very welcome.
Oh, thanks
and
very much.
Congratulations on the awarding of this bursary. And we'll talk about what it will mean for your further training and further development. But why is it that, you know, so many students and teenagers doing their leaving cert, so many women opt to study medicine, but then they don't opt to go into surgery?
It's a very good question, and it's something that's been quite extensively studied now, more recently, particularly with the movements of seeing more women in higher professions. So we know that, as you said, 50% of women, 50% of medical students are women. And in fact, in this year's intake of SHOs, so that's the trainees just out of internship, that's just been announced with the Royal College of Surgeons, that 50% this year coming in are women. So we're getting them in, but the problem is retaining them as you come through your 20s and come through the career. You know, their barriers are probably affect women and men equally in ways, because it's a very hardworking, you have to be a very hardworking person.
It's a tough area of specialty.
Yeah, there's probably an exceptional level of pressure on surgeons and surgeons in training in the hospital environment, both physically, because the operations can be quite demanding, but emotionally, and making very quick, decisive decisions, sometimes in the middle of the night. And sometimes, you know, without the levels of support that can be there during the daytime.
But I suppose it has always been a wholly male-dominated sector. And you know the way we always say, if you can't see one, you can't be one.
Yeah.
So it's going to take some time, I suppose, for more and more women to move into this area.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm actually probably a very good example of you can't be what you can't see, because I literally, in college, I didn't want to be a surgeon for my whole life. I'm not one of these people who, you know, was 7 years old and I wanted to be a neurologist, and I just didn't even consider it, because when I was coming through medical school during the kind of 2000s, I didn't see that many women surgeons, and there weren't many at all.
Still
as
not.
You say, there still aren't. There is 11%, about 10 or 11% of surgical consultants now in Ireland are female. But thankfully, in the registrar and SHO levels now, it is starting to approximate parity, you know, to get to kind of 50-50 levels. But that was not the case when I came through. And it was only by pure accident when I started.
What changed for you?
Honestly, I really enjoyed neurology in medical school, and that's what I wanted to do. I was very inspired by a mentor I had through medical school, and that's what I wanted to do. And about a week into, I chose to do surgery first in my internship because I thought I'll get it out of the way. I just didn't even consider it.
Wasn't on your radar.
Even though it was my best subject in my finals, I just didn't even consider it. It wasn't even in the sphere of what I thought. And within a week of doing my first week of surgical internship, I worked with a senior registrar who I still look up to and admire so much. And she's been a phenomenal mentor to me throughout my career. And I suddenly thought, my goodness, this is something I can do. And so, you know, that's the exact thing of you can't be what you can't see.
Yeah, you're putting your finger on something here, mentors.
Yes. Yeah. And that's something I'm really passionate about.
And do you think it was important that the mentor in this case was another woman?
Actually, no. Well, maybe it brought it into my consciousness, into a level of consciousness that I kind of looked at her and saw. But I've had the privilege of having amazing male and female mentors. And I don't think that you have to have women mentors only, but I do think you need to be able to see women around you succeeding.
You need, I imagine, for your job, enormous stamina.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, if you need to stand in an operating theatre for several hours, you need to be able to be there. What happens if you're pregnant? And you know, you're going into a surgery that could potentially last 7, 8, 9 hours.
Yeah. Yes, that's really interesting. And it's an element of something that I've researched. I have personal experience. I have two babies.
Okay.
I think as surgeons, particularly, we tend to put off having pregnancies until a little bit later in our careers because it doesn't fit with your career progression. We do a lot of moving around the country during our training. And so then you get used to the physiological, ignoring your own physiological responses.
That's not good.
Not really. I think that's probably part of why, you know, there's a lot of evidence that
You're adjusting
pregnancy
to an existing system as opposed
exactly.
to changing
you know,
the system.
You ignore thirst, you ignore you know, all sorts of physiological responses that are triggers, and you get used to, you know, spending long periods of time operating, much like, you know, a marathon runner or, you know, anyone else who does an extreme physical
So there
challenge.
Is still a lot of work to be done to make this field more accessible, maybe. Is it a macho culture?
I wouldn't think it's a macho culture. I think in days gone by, there may have been. I personally haven't really experienced kind of chauvinism or overt machoism. I think a lot of that is changing now. And I think that's probably true for many careers or career professions. You know, things hopefully are changing, and I certainly have experienced that. But I do think you have to have a strong personality in surgery, and perhaps that's maybe...
Decisive, and
yes.
that strength filters through, I suppose, in many different areas.
Yeah.
This bursary you've received, what will it mean to you and your training? Your general and colorectal.
That's right, yeah. So I'm at the end of my training here in Ireland, and as part of the natural progression to consultancy, it's really important that in order to really hone your skill and your craft, that you choose an area that you want to super specialise in and go and do a fellowship for a year in that area. And what I want to do is robotic colorectal cancer surgery. And the Royal Marsden, where I'm going, is a really fantastic cancer centre and have a lot of expertise. So
you'll commute now between...
Yeah, so my husband's a GP. He's an amazing support, and I'm so lucky that he's going to stay with our two children, and I will go to the Marsden Monday to Friday. And thankfully, London is reasonably easy to commute to, but obviously there's a significant financial outlay there, you know, between childcare and travel and rent, etc. So this fellowship is amazing. It takes a lot of pressure off me. I won't, hopefully.
And the plan is to come back into the Irish system, which
everyone
will be.
Absolutely. If there's a consultancy post for me, I will be here.
Okay. People will be very glad to hear that.
I'd be delighted.
Aileen Rogers, Senior Surgical Registrar at St James's and a Fellow now of the Royal College of Surgeons. Thank you very much for coming into us this evening.